And in verses 3 through 5, Peter showed us that God has established for us glorious living hope from the beginning. Everyone has an inheritance and reserved for heaven in us. And we mainly talked about that inheritance. Everybody has that inheritance. Do we accept it or not is the clue. You know, it's the easy thing for us. We need to accept Jesus to receive it. And then 6 through 9, we saw that establishing this hope, he has given us a joy inexpressible and full of glory, even in the midst of trial and suffering. So we talked about sufferings. Today, we're going to be in 1 Peter 10 through 12. And what it says is, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or in what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating that he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So verse 10, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Peter emphasizes the immense eternal value that Christian salvation has, how prophets inquired and searched carefully for this salvation we have. He explains that the Old Testament prophets longed to understand what grace believers now experience. The Holy Spirit confirmed this future reality, and even angels marveled at the beauty of the gospel. You think about that. You know, the prophets went so far to a certain point, and it stops. God's talking about it from Genesis to Revelation. That's his word to us, to have us. He wants our relationship. He wants our love. And he's done it from the beginning of time to the end. He will. You know, and what's really cool is even the angels and the prophets, they didn't get to see that. They didn't get to have that we have. And we have the whole book. We have it written down where we don't have to learn about it by hearing it. We can read it, right? We can read it, which is really cool. And Peter uses this perspective to encourage suffering Christians. If ancient prophets searched for this grace and heavenly angels marveled at it, the salvation believers currently process is a priceless and unshakable treasure. We have that. We have that salvation, which is really, really cool. You know, what God did we'll get into it a little bit more. But the Old Testament prophets eagerly searched for details about the upcoming salvation, guided by the Spirit of Christ. They prophesied about two specific events, the Messiah's sufferings, the cross, and his subsequent glories, the resurrection and exaltation. They knew the what, but heavily searched the when and who, because they didn't understand. I mean, Jews today still don't understand, if they're still following the Jewish laws, they still don't understand that Christ has already came. So they're still looking for the who. This is where the risen Jesus walked alongside two confused disciples, later revealing himself to them as he broke bread. So we're going to go to Luke 24, 13 through 27. And it says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they were conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went to them, but their eyes were restrained so they could not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then one of those who was Cleopas, thank you, Dave, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have you not known these things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things that are concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. And yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that he had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of these who were with us went to the tomb and found it was the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow to heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." See, even Jesus talked about all the things that the prophets had learned. And he's ministering to these guys right now and telling them, look, this is what happened. And this is what talked about. It talked about me coming. Do you not understand this? And as we go through our life, we have situations where we ask the Lord to help us to understand things. I do. I mean, sometimes I don't understand what's going on in my life, and I have to ask him, Lord, what's going on? What am I to do? How am I supposed to handle this? I wonder how many times Jesus walked with me or talked with me explaining how to handle my situation or my struggle, and I didn't see him. I mean, honestly, I mean, we walk with him, we say and stuff, but sometimes we don't listen. We don't hear what he's saying. Maybe God sent someone to me or a passage I was to read, and I just didn't do it, or I didn't listen to it, or I didn't obey it. I can look back and remember when someone said to me, and I received it. I can look back and see that. I can see someone did say something, and I did receive it. But, you know, when we were buying our business, I was told by Pam, I was told by the owner of the guy that I was buying the business from, you're not doing this right. And I'm like, I didn't hear that. I was praying to God to find out, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to handle this? I'm praying to him. I'm asking for him. But I wasn't listening because I wanted it my way. I had to have it my way. And so what I did is I went in with two other partners, and it was bad. The first year was a struggle. It was really, really hard. And then I'm sitting there wondering why I'm struggling. I'm asking God for that answer. And I have Pam telling me, I felt like, oh, I don't need to listen to you. You know, God's not going to speak through you. And then I heard the business owner, the guy I bought the business from, we would go to lunch every once in a while. And he says, you're in the wrong group. Those guys are not good for you. And I'm like, not listening to him either, because he didn't know. He doesn't know what I got to deal with. I do. I know it all. Really. And then I'm having a Bible study, right? And one of the guys in there, who not even a business person, has no clue about businesses and stuff. And he says to me, well, you're not equally yoked. I'm like, oh, wow. And it dawned on me, I was not equally yoked with these guys. They were not Christians. They wanted to run a business a different way than I wanted to run it. And that was the struggle we fought. They wanted to spend money. I wanted to make the business work. They wanted to use the business to get rich. I wanted the business to work, because you can get rich if the business works, you know? So there's a thing there. And I wanted God to bless it, and they didn't want that. You know, like people would come to me, and they were hurting for you know, money, and they had a problem with their car and they needed to get to work, and I wanted to just fix it. And they're like, no, you can't do that. You got to charge them. And I'm like, well, maybe they'll come back, and, you know, I don't know. I just trust God too much sometimes, and I say, oh, I'll just deal with that. You know, God's going to bless us if we take care of them. And he does. He does. But I had selective hearing, and I had selective prayer. You know, I had selected everything. So then I have my favorite movies that I love to quote a lot of times. And what happened was, when our kids were growing up, I read this thing about, when you're watching a movie, find something in there that relates to Christ, and you can minister your kids as you're watching the movies. So I would do that. And one of them you know, you're going to find it's hard to believe, is the 13th warrior. Yeah. It's like, really, Dennis, the 13th warrior? Well, in there, Antonio Banderas, he can't understand what these guys are saying. He's going with these guys to go find. He's the 13th warrior, and he's going with these other 12 to this place to find out what's going on to this village. And they're all talking in a certain language, and he doesn't understand that language. But he sits there and he listens to them. And after a while, he learns their language. And as they're talking, one time they say something about him, and he says, I did it, and he knew their language. And they go, when did you learn our language? And he says, I was listening, you know. And sometimes we don't hear God's language. I did not hear God's language. We need to listen to God's language. Not our language and not other people's language, but what God is saying to us individually. And sometimes I have to say, am I listening to God or am I listening to others? Am I listening to what I want to hear or am I listening to God? So this is why there's a saying or a verse that I love, and it's, be still and know that I am God. I probably told you guys a million times about that. But it's very powerful to me because you need to just stop and listen. You need to be still, still your mind. And it means to let go. You know, you need to let go, cease striving, or drop your hands. It's a comfort. I'm changing and surrendering to God at that point. And I need to sit there and let my burdens go. I got to let everything go and trust that God is in complete control. That's my whole thing. God's in complete control, and I'm going to wait to hear what he has to say. And if you can do this, the answer usually comes. I got to tell you, it does. Pam is my witness, and Pam and I have done this many times. We just sit there and just let it be and just trust in him. Be still and listen, and he will come. Many times we have done this, knowing he has complete control. This is how I can understand God's language. I'm listening. Yeah, sometimes we hear God speak through others, sometimes we through the radio, sometimes through music, or at night when you wake up in the middle of the night. I don't know how many people do that. 3 o'clock, I wake up, and I can't sleep, and I have to figure out, why can't I sleep? What am I struggling with? And I usually like to go sit at the table, sit outside, or just lay there, and all of a sudden it just comes to you. Yeah, right? I mean, it's amazing. And then a lot of times I hear that still small voice, you know, or I'll hear it from people that aren't even Christians. They'll just say something and I'll go, wow, that's powerful. That's God speaking through them. He'll speak through everybody. They don't have to be Christian. He'll speak through everybody. Let's go to Luke 24. Stay at Luke 24, and we're going to go to 44. We're going to read through 49. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of the sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I sent the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endured with power from on high. Wow. Jesus says that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. There they're talking about. This is what he was talking about at the beginning. Peter saying that the prophets knew of him. They spoke of him, which is really cool. And we see from the beginning to the end, we see the whole plan of God from the beginning to the end. From Genesis 1 in the beginning to Revelations 22:21, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Salvation is from Genesis to Revelation. It speaks of salvation. God wants you to be in heaven forever, and that's what the Bible's teaching you. That's what it tells us. Believe it or not, though, if you go to somebody, others that have not believed, that don't understand who he is, and try to explain this to them, you're going to be in a fight because they do not want to hear that. And it's because a lot of people get upset about that. And I don't know why, because they have their life under control, maybe, or because they think, I got it all under control and I don't want you to mess it up by having me go see. I don't know. I don't know what it is. They have a plan and that's not part of the plan to be with God, you know, and that's a sad thing. To me, that is really, really, really sad. To be offended, though, is where I'm going, is helpful. If I'm going down the road speeding and I get pulled over, sometimes we can get offended by that. Well, you're stopping me from going where I need to go, and what does it matter if I'm speeding? You know, it's okay. Well, first of all, if I'm going there, I could be getting an accident. Maybe God's pulling that you over and saving you from an accident. You know, who knows? But we shouldn't be speeding to begin with. It's against the law, and that God tells us not to do this. I'm guilty of it, though. I do know going down 194, going to Aurora, is not a safe bet. If you're going that way, honestly, and if you're speeding, there's been a lot of rollovers on that road. A lot of rollovers. I do remember there was a guy named, I think it's Ron. He lived with Red. Do you remember Wanza, his name? I don't know, but he lived up the street here, and he worked for Aurora Public Schools, and he was in an accident where he lost his arm. But it wasn't in the accident on that. It was on the farm, okay? So he was going to work one day, and somebody tried to pass him, and they flipped and rolled over, and he got involved in that accident. And the ambulance showed up, and the paramedics, and there was a new one went up to him as he's sitting on the curb, and he walked up, and he goes, "Are you okay? Are you doing okay?" He goes, "Can I do anything for you?" He goes, "Well, I can't find my arm." Yeah, and they had he called some other paramedics, and they're out looking in the field for his arm, and the chief walked up, and he goes, "How's it going, Ron?" He goes, "Oh, doing okay." He goes, "Oh, you didn't do that again, did you?" I'm sorry, that was kind of a rabbit trail, but. But the point is you don't want, there's a lot that happens down that road. And if you speed down that road, it's a dangerous situation. So that's why there's speed limits. And that was when it was dirt too, by the way, but it still can be dangerous. A lot of things happen on that road. So back to what we're talking about, grace did not start in the New Testament. We seem to think that's where the grace started, at the New Testament, but it started at the beginning. At the very beginning, it started. Jesus took the wrath of the Father. This is incredible. Jesus took the wrath of the Father, his Father. So he poured his wrath on his only Son, God did, so that you may have eternal life with the Father. Isn't that crazy to think? I mean, could you do that to your kid? No. That's love. The love of the Father and the love of the Son for us, who he created. He created us. He created us that we might love him. But you know what? Even though that happens, that God took his wrath on the Son, and the Son accepted that wrath for us, and people do not love the Son or the Father. And he did that just so we would be in heaven with him for eternity. That's crazy. It's like, blows my mind. How could we not want to be with the Father? It just blows your mind. I don't know about you guys, but it seemed to take it lightly sometimes. Right? He did that. Do I get excited to read God's word? When I was first a Christian, when I first accepted Christ, yes. But then after a while, as life goes on, I got things to do. I got to work. I got to take care of the kids. Things happen. I get that. But that's the word of the Creator. He's the Creator of us. the one who wants me to be with him in heaven forever, that sacrificed his son so I can have a relationship with him, who his son willingly took my sins so I could be with the Father. I mean, think about that. You got to put that together today. Take some time, sit and be still and listen to that. Try to put that together. Do I get up in the morning? First of all, I don't know what your favorite thing is to do. I love watching the Broncos. I love watching movies. But when I'm watching the Broncos, you know, and they're going down to score, I'm jumping off the couch. And I mean, people have to get out of my way. They're scared. I think Pam's mom freaked out a couple times, you know, when she was watching us with it. I'm jumping up and down. They're going to score a touchdown. I'm all excited. Or when the Avs play, I get excited when they score a goal. I'm jumping up and down. Or when I'm watching a movie, I kind of get into it a little bit. If I'm fishing, if I catch a fish, I'm excited. I'm having a great time. Or if I'm going shooting, you can put whatever it is in your heart that you think about. But do I jump up and down in the morning or when I hear God's word or when I read it, do I get that excited about it? I'm not saying we need to get that, you know, that we jump up and down with the Bible and try to read, yay, this is great. No, but I hope you get my point. Are we this excited to spend time with God? You know, or do we put things down and say, no, I'm not going to watch that game. I'm going to read the Bible. That'd be tough. That would be tough. But I do know if someone called me and they needed help, I will stop watching the Broncos. Like that is a for sure thing. I don't need to watch them. I can record it and go on. Yeah. But just put the things, you know, that you most enjoy, then compare it to the love that you have for God and see where it fits on the scale. And sometimes my scale is kind of messed up, as Bill says, you know, which way is it? You know, if God said, I don't want you to do that anymore, can you give it up? Ooh, I don't know. It was really funny as when I had the shop, I had a two-door Yukon that I just really loved. And I talked about it evidently a lot because the guys all said, oh, it's Dennis's Yukon, be careful with it. And everybody was making fun. Oh, I don't know what he'd do if he ever lost that Yukon and stuff. And I heard people talking about that when I was having an oil change done on it one day. And they said, don't let it scratch. Ooh, don't scratch his tire even, you know. So I sold it. And they're like, what? Because I thought, I'm showing people that I love that thing more than I do God. So I gave it up and sold it. Not a big deal. And shocked the guys. They were all shocked. And they said, I can't believe you sold that. I said, it's just a piece of material. God's more important. And I want to show him that I love him more than anything else. So that's how I did it. So, moving on. In verse 11, it says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating that he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It describes how the Old Testament prophets earnestly studied their own writings, trying to determine when and how the promised Messiah would arrive and conquer. They were wanting him to conquer. They weren't really getting it, in a sense. But the passage highlights two major truths regarding the prophets. Sufferings. The Holy Spirit foretold that the Messiah would come. The glories. The sufferings that would be followed by subsequent glories, such as the resurrection, ascension, and the future kingdom. Ultimately, the prophets were told by God that they were ministering these truths for the benefit of future generations rather than their own time. So they're preparing it. And that's kind of cool. If we go to Isaiah 53, through 7. It says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Wow. And Uzziah, he wrote this years and years and years before Christ came. He prepared, like we were talking, he was ministering to the future generations what's going to happen. And we go to Psalms 22. Again, these are just a few examples. There is a lot in here because everything points to Christ. You go to 22:14 through 18, it says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me into the dust of death. For the dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands, my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Isn't that crazy? And that's in Psalms. So then again, years before. There's many examples like this. Many. And then we get into verse 12. It says, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, that they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look at. Peter concludes by revealing that the gospel realities are these, are things into which angels long to look. In the original Greek, the word for long to look at is I had it written down and everything, and I was going to say it right. But anyway, there's a Greek word, and it means to stoop down, to peer closely at something with intense curiosity. And that's what the angels are doing. They want to know. They want to see it. Heavenly beings who reside in the presence of God are captivated by the breathtaking grace and the plan of human redemption. The angels, think about that. Peter uses this perspective to encourage suffering Christians. If ancient prophets searched for this grace and heavenly angels marveled at it, the salvation believers current possess is a priceless, unshakable treasure. Unshakable treasure. What does it mean for believers? 10 through 12? The revealing is where it was offended, bringing things to light that we have taken for granted. Sometimes in our life, we need to slow down and see what's really important. And that's what I'm saying. We need to slow down. The crazy thing says, I fall short, which I know I do, but I'm wrapped up with his armor around me. We have his armor all the way around us. And it is like I can make mistakes all day long and I'm forgiven. But I know that's not what it's, now I know what the kids that all will get a trophy, no matter what you do, you'll get a trophy. That's us. We get a trophy no matter what. But is that right? No, not according to Christ it is, because he's going to forgive us all our sins. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to sin that anymore. I don't want that. So my point is, we don't want to just go around with an attitude that says I'm forgiven. You don't want to do that. But an attitude that, what can I do for you, Lord? What can I do for you today? How am I going to walk with you today? How can I show you that you're more important in my life than anything else? Where do I fall? Where do you fall, Lord, on my scale? That's what I want to ask you guys. Where do you fall? Where does he fall? Compared to the things you love to do or love to have or whatever it is. Jesus knows where he falls in that scale, by the way. He knows where he's at. It shows in my life who, when I accepted Jesus into my life, I had to tell somebody at first. At first I did. I had to tell somebody. There was a song going around by Don Francisco, and it says, I have to tell somebody. That was in the 80s. the end of the 70s, and those were a long time ago, and then the early 80s, kind of shows my age, or Bruce's age. He's older than me. No. But, you know, you look at it and you go, I couldn't tell anybody. And by the way, it used to be that I found Jesus. Well, it doesn't work that way. Jesus found me, right? That's the way it works. I wanted everybody to know I knew that, you know, that that now I have Christ. You know, I wanted to tell everybody. But as life goes on, it diminishes down to I know him. I know who he is. But I have other things I need to do at this point and get back to you on that. That's kind of our lives after as we get going in it. And I don't want it to be that way. I know that I never got back to him. And I know, I know some people who says I know of him and I want to get to know him, but I'll get to that later. And then they passed away. So they never got there. And now it's sad. That's really sad. Please don't wait. Check your list and put him where he needs to be. That's what I have to say. So he needs to be on top. Needs to be on top. Remember, the prophets and the angels acquired. They did not have the complete Bible as we do, or the complete story. We have the complete story at our fingertips. So walk your life as though you want to be in heaven with God. That's what I want you to do this week. Do you want to be with God? Show him. Walk that way. Then it'll reveal your love for God, and it'll show others, and they may inquire why you have that. What is it you have? It's the complete story about Christ. We have that complete story, and you can show it in your walk. Walk it out. That's what I have to ask you guys, or challenge you guys. Walk it out. Do we walk it out, or do we show people, I love that Yukon more than I love God? You know, or do I love the Broncos more than I love God? So I know sometimes it's tough. It's tough to look back and go, you know, I like that stuff, and I love that stuff, but really we need to be showing who we really truly love, and that should be Christ. He should be on the top of that list, because we're on the top of his list. We are on his list, and everybody in this world is on that list, and some people, they don't want to be on that list. I want to be on that list, and I'm glad I am. And only you know if you are on his list or where you fit on the list. And if you're on his list, put him on the top of your list. That's what I pray. Okay? So it's a short one today. So with that, as the music team comes up, pray with me. Dear God, I pray that we take time and sit with you and listen for your instruction to our lives, that way we represent you in all the way, that in everything we do. And if there's anything that we put in front of you, Lord, that we would take it out of the way and walk with you daily. If there's anyone here in the sound of my voice, I ask that you repeat after me. If I'm a sinner and I know you were put on the cross for me, Lord, I am giving my life to you so that I may be in heaven with you forever. If you said this in your heart, tell another believer or get into the word and walk it out with Jesus daily. Lord, I lift those up to you that are sick in our church, and there seems to be a lot in here. And if they're traveling, Lord, we ask for safety. If they're, whatever's going on within their lives, Lord, I just ask that you would be involved with it, especially people within this church. And they may share with other believers to know what to do, because you can speak through them, or they would read the Bible to understand what they need to do. But Lord, that they would search you out and listen to your voice, to your language. I also lift up the first responders all over the country for safety. And for the firefighters, Lord, we lift them up to you, especially around the Colorado here. I know we've lost some lives, Lord. I just lift up their families to you. I lift up the people down in Texas through the flooding. They just had that last year, and now it's again. Lord, I lift up those first responders to you. I lift up the families down there, Lord. And most of all, I lift up this church, that they may will walk with you on the top of their list. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.